Good afternoon, and welcome to Everybody, the podcast which shares stories that highlight people in life that make the world an interesting place, which ultimately ties us all together in unique and wonderful ways. And who am I, you might ask? I would be the head-wrapped socialite, wife, mom, micro-influencer in the fashion and etiquette world. But on this podcast, I will be introducing you to some people who I've had the opportunity to meet along my journey, who have helped enrich me and my life in beautiful ways, and who I hope
listeners know that. Okay, I'm going to set the scene for you before we continue with our interview. Carlota has decorated her table. We are sitting here. She has coffee in front of her on delicate china, and I have a wonderful tea. It is English breakfast I chose, darling. And there are strawberries on the table, scones, orange juice in a nice carafe. We have some Pellegrino water and a lovely bouquet of flowers. So we're sitting out on her lovely terrace. And if you can hear a little mowing in the background, one of her neighbors is actually out over yonder and is mowing. But you can hear the birds. If you listen closely, you can hear the birds in the background. And this really has made for a lovely day. And again, dear listeners, you know, sometimes I digress. So we are going to come right back to the interview right now, seeing that the neighbor is on the other side of the house. Okay. So on today's episode, I have Dr. Carlota. She effortlessly wields her paintbrush, bringing to life a distinctive signature style that sets her artwork apart. A celebration of women, adorned with eyes that speak volumes, eyes that hold secrets and stories untold. She's captivating. Her pieces truly captivate us, and they invite us into a realm where emotion and imagination are intertwined, where colors dance with light, and where her creations embody strength, vulnerability, and resilience. They say that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And when I look at her paintings, that's exactly what it represents for me. So please help me in welcoming to today's podcast, Carlota Gay. Carlota, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I think I will steal your introduction for my next presentation in my next exhibit. I will say that I'm a Argentinian native. I was born in Argentina and I moved to the U.S. 26 years ago with my husband, both of us being physicians looking for a different training for our careers. We both established in Rochester, which we call home, and we love it with all our heart. Our kids are both from Minnesota. I have two kids, and I'm 50 years old, so it's another milestone in life, and that's me. And basically, the word that I try to use to define me is I am an apologetic person. I am who I am, and I don't have to explain to anybody why I look how I look or why I do what I do. It's a personal choice, and it's only to me that I own that.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. That was really beautiful. There's so much that I want to ask you about. Carlota, can you tell us about your artistic journey and what led you to pursue your chosen medium?
I started doing sketches when I was in high school, and I decided to do art, enroll in one of the best art schools in my city, in Cordoba, which is very high quality school of art. I spent some time there until I met a professor that said, you will never have talent. And I left the class and I never came back. And that take me to say that mentors should embrace all kind of students because you never know what is behind that person. Unfortunately, I stopped doing art at that time because I was immature to take that comment in another level. And I left. Mm-hmm. I left and I kept doing what I was doing on the side, which was medical school. Mm-hmm. I graduate on medical school and I work as a physician doing research for many years. And during the pandemic, I need a space where I could relax with all the uncertainty and decide to take a paper and whatever material I had at home, which was not much. And I didn't have the choice to go and buy because we didn't leave the house during that period. Mm-hmm. And I had watercolors and I started painting in watercolors. And for years, every place I went, I pick any picture with female with big eyes. Mm. And I look at that like a reflection of deep feelings. Mm-hmm. So I say, why I'm not the one painting them instead of looking at them when I travel around? And I have pictures on France, in Israel, with those paintings. And I say, no, I have to create my own. And I took some book from the public library in Rochester. Mm-hmm. And one day I start doing one. And in a month, I have several one. And today, 2 years later, I have more than 200 of them.
Wow.
They are all females. Mm-hmm. Basically, all of them are sad. And the question is, why don't you paint a smiley face? Mm-hmm. And I cannot. It's something that comes from me, but it's not me. It's not that I'm a sad person. I'm very happy and very uplifting person. But it's a way to reflect the unspoken females, those that they cannot say anything. And all of them are different cultural background. The spectrum is all over the world. Mm-hmm. And there is not people that I paint specifically that I know. There are exceptions. Mm-hmm. It's just a reflection of females, how I think the whole females are feeling. And I use watercolor until I decide to start using acrylics.
That's interesting. What came to mind when you said that you like to paint women with eyes that are sad, mm-hmm. is I thought about the story that you just told me when you were going to art school, and there was so much more there for you to discover had the teacher allowed you that opportunity. But because they didn't allow you that opportunity, I believe that you are speaking the unspoken for all of us women who have been told for so many years
exactly that
we are
exactly
not worthy.
Exactly that. Wow. That's what I want to say. And my paintings, my females speak even with the eyes closed, which is the description on the exhibit I had in the Rochester Art Center last year. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter how you see the expression on my painting, they're telling you something. Mm-hmm. Even with one eye, because some of them are painted half of the face, you can see that there is something happening there that cannot be said. I did an application, a grant, to do the exhibit in the Rochester Art Center. The curator in the Rochester Art Center said, you need to do something different. You cannot keep doing watercolor, the same size. Do a mural. Go and ask for a muralist to teach you how to do it. So that came as a window for me to explore other venues on painting. Mm-hmm. And I paint my first 54 inches by 72 inches big paint, which is my first black female in there that my daughter inspired me to do. That she said, you need to paint a female with this kind of skin, with this kind of hair. And I did it. And they chose it like the best to put it in the Rochester Art Center.
Wow.
And so the name of that paint is Finally, You Listen to Me. So finally, because that's what my daughter said when she came, she said, finally, you listen to me. So that paint was used for advertisement for the publication on the Rochester Public Rochester Art Center. And it's the first one. That happened last year. Since then, I have 12 big, large paintings. And the last one I have done is Trina, which is in front of me. And it's, from my point of view, the most beautiful of all.
Oh, my friend.
Yes.
I'm excited to see it.
Not yet.
I'm so excited. I'm going to go back to what your daughter said. And when she said, finally, you listen to me. And you painted the picture, finally, you listen to me. It shows how in this world, we're all so interconnected. And by your daughter speaking to you, and presenting her wishes to you of what she would like to see, you were open and you were available to take and receive what she said And it opened you up in a whole nother way.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. She opened me a venue that I didn't feel comfortable mm-hmm. to pursue. And I did it because she pushed me to do it, which is doing it constantly mm-hmm. with me. She's Love giving it. Me different ways to take my pains out of the comfort level every day.
That's beautiful.
Every day.
That's beautiful. And I think, too, isn't that what our kids are supposed to do? Push us. Push us a little bit. Because they can do that.
A lot. Yes, a lot. But on the other hand, my son, I paint in the garage because it's they are big and I need a wall to destroy and then repaint again
because I
make a mess. And during the winter, I couldn't paint in the garage. So I went to the basement. I paint in the basement. And because my son is a teenager, he used the basement to watch movie with the friends and everything. And he begged me not to paint in the basement because he feels intimidated by the big eyes that is looking at him. So I went in a trip and I came back and all the paints are facing the wall so nobody can see the eyes looking at them. So.
That's true. That's fantastic.
So so my daughter pushed me to do it and my son hide them from the friends because, I don't know, he's a teenager and I don't know what is on his mind on that.
But one day, it's when you go into his house and he's going to have all of your paintings and you're going to go into, you know, the friends' houses and they're going to have all of your paintings because they're just awesome.
Well, one of the paintings is a naked female. Not naked because I don't paint, but it's a suggestive one. And he say, Mom, turn it around because my friends are not as mature as me to see them.
I love it.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Sounds good.
Okay.
But you don't see anything. It's just a piece of the back.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So it says one. The rest is a face.
I love it. How would you describe your artistic style or your aesthetic? And what influences or inspirations have shaped it?
Oh, what a question. For me, sadly, I just develop a way to paint the eyes and I forget about the background. So my paintings are oriented for the viewer to focus on the expression on the eyes, but I forget about the rest. And now I'm trying to focus a little bit more on the whole picture.
Okay.
The other thing, what's shaped this is, I don't know how to answer that. I don't have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. I never paint somebody. I didn't paint a human being that I knew. All of them are from my imagination, except three of them, which one is you. And there are two people, one that my daughter came and say, my friend is graduating and want you to paint her. I say, I cannot do that. I don't feel comfortable because I feel scared of misrepresent the person and making the person feel bad. Mm. That's the reason number one, I don't paint somebody I know. I paint this girl and she love it. And I call her the girl on the red car because she came to pick up my daughter to take her to high school in a red car. Mm. And she really loved the paint. I say, okay, I didn't break her the heart. She's okay. And secondly, I paint a person I know from Asia that I painted because I need to paint for the grant I propose in the Rochester Art Center. And it has to be something I paint during my exhibit. And I paint this female. So those were the inspiration I get. But most of them are just, I see a beautiful, beautiful female. And I see beyond the beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to see more. It's not just how beautiful you see. It is something else behind the makeup.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I don't paint male. I paint only females because we females use makeup to cover our pain. And you see the person all beautiful and there are so much more to see behind that.
Yeah.
And I used females because I can put color in the eyes, put color in shadow, lipstick, and make it like a mask. But look behind because it is so much more.
I like that. That's really, really beautiful.
Thank you. Yes.
It's like I always love these interviews because when I'm sitting with people and I'm sitting with you today, my mind wants to continue to go back to what thing you last said, because there's so much there. There's so much substance, and there's so many things that I didn't think about before. Because as you were telling me about makeup that women wear and how there are so many layers, I started thinking about my grandmother. My grandmother would always wear red lips. Red lipstick was her thing. She always did that. And I was thinking as you were talking, what was she trying to say by wearing her red lips?
You cannot ask her, but you can ask your grandfather.
Yeah.
Because he may know.
Yeah.
Why she used it.
Yeah.
Like maybe she wants to be listening and you see the mouth and that's a cap taking your attention.
That's it.
That's why for me the eyes are so relevant. Mm. That's why if you want to see my paintings, you will see that the eyes, you cannot look another place on the paint because the eyelashes are so big and so long and the color and the bright. And I saturate the paint with the sparkling and different layers of colors just for you to look at the eyes. Try to read what is inside the eyes. Some of them, of the painting, has Hebrew letters, the words, and on the pupil, you can see hiding message.
Yeah.
So you have to see that on each one of them.
I love it. Another layer to your beautiful artwork. Before I go to the next question, I wanted to ask you, as far as like your inspirations, do you dream them up? Is there like a specific place you get up in the middle of the night and just start painting?
No, but the inspiration is colors. For me, the colors is the first thing that come to my mind when I want to do something. Mm-hmm. For instance, if I travel, I go with at least 3 pieces of paper and a small container with watercolor, very cheap, extremely cheap. The best brushes, like 2 or 3, and one single color. Let's say I'm going to Greece. Okay. I will take the Turkish color, the best quality of watercolor in my small bag, and go with me. And I go there and I sit and I see the people and then I start painting. I normally have 2 or 3 from the trip, specifically from the place where I'm sitting, in a beach or in a park or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I came on the trip from home with the paints because I have a preconcept of the color I will see in the place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's a way to be inspired.
Oh, I love it. And then when you do your paintings from, just say you're in Greece or France, you take those colors that you saw there and you put those into your...
I painted in the place. I painted in the place, like Superior, Miami. Those are places I really have paints. I sit in the band, in the hotel, and I start doing the sketch, first colors, and I finish it at home. But I have the heart of the female in the place where I create the female.
Oh, that's...
For instance, I have an exhibit right now in the Rochester Public Library with one single painting, which is a female I paint in Mykonos.
Mm.
And the exhibit is called Joyful and Shiny. So I look for this female and I propose it and they accept it. It's with a lot of yellow and gold.
Mm.
And that is created in Greece.
How beautiful.
Those are the inspirations.
And you know, one of my things that I'm going to put on my trip for today, I'm going to make a special trip out to your exhibit today because I want to take a look at this because now I have more context into what your paintings mean. So I have to go look at it again.
Okay, no, you have to wait until July 1st, which I will have an exhibit for 3 months with more than 20 paints.
Oh.
This is in the Rochester Public Library, there is one. In the Rochester International Airport, there is one.
Okay.
But the one is being prepared now is with between 20 and 30 paints.
Oh,
and it's in 125 live. Which is good. You will have more opportunity to see them one by one close to you.
Then I will wait.
Just wait a few days.
Okay. Viewers, I will be patient and I will wait. So as I stated in your introduction, as I look at your work, the first thing that I do notice are the exaggerated eyes. And I'm glad that you gave more detail as to why you did it. and what things to look for when we look at your paintings. Your work explores women through their eyes, and honestly, I am transfixed. Even by viewing it on the computer, there is something that when I look at it, like, you can't help, you want to stay glued to these eyes. And it's hard for me to turn away because I'm like, what is the story that this woman wants me to know? Like, that's what I keep thinking in my head. Can you share a little bit more into the insight and the concepts behind your project?
When I collect 10, 20, 30 paints, the feedback inside my circle was that was enough to show it outside my circle, like family and friends that came to my home. Therefore, I decided to look for something outside this circle. And the way I did it is I call a friend, mm-hmm. a friend of mine, which is very active in the community in Rochester. And I say, I want to get inside the Rochester Art Center. And it was in the middle of the pandemic. The Rochester Art Center didn't have money for the electricity. They were almost broken. And she said, I'll send you the email of, no. I want you to walk with me inside because that's what I need you to show me the people and get me there. So we got together one day. It was almost empty, pandemic time. Nothing was happening. And if you haven't been in the Rochester Art Center, you go to the building through the gift shop. And I saw the gift shop. I said, wow, beautiful place. I haven't been here before. So I get inside and I had the chance to spread like 40 paint in front of the curator there.
Wow.
And the curator say, yeah, they're good. Do something else. Not only watercolor in this side. Go bigger. But I will tell you, the only way to get here is to write a grant. You need to make an application and it's once a year.
Okay.
And I said, I will do it. I get out and I say, I will do it. But in the meantime, I knocked the door in the gift shop and I say, will you take my paint? And they say, let's speak with the curator and see what the curator say with your paint. Mm-hmm. Next week, I had 8 paints in the gift shop.
Wow.
When I got my first 8 paint hanging on that wall, I came to my home screaming of happiness. Like I say, that's it. That's what I wanted. And they put one of the female on the advertisement. Mm-hmm. And I say to my husband, I made it. That's it. And a week happened that had passed. And I say, well, I need to do something else. That's it. But it's gone. I need to look for the next thing. And that start me to write the grant.
Right.
I write the grant. The grant was approved. And I had the day for the first exhibit. And I couldn't believe it. I still not believe that I jumped from nothing to the top place in Rochester to have an exhibit. So when I did that, it came the question, what next? Because that's the top. And I started applying for other places. And I had the opportunity to exhibit one internationally, one small thing here and there. And now I'm thinking for the next big exhibit, which I wanted to be in Minneapolis. And that's what I'm working toward. And that's why I'm painting the big paintings. I want the big ones.
I love it.
In Minneapolis.
I love it. And you're going to get there. We put it out into the universe.
Yes.
We put it out into the universe.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
Yes. And I wanted to show the paint. And I have friends come in and say, sell it to me. It's for exhibit. Now it's just for the people to see. Maybe one day.
Right.
So that's how I prepare. I just look for the next place where I can show what I'm doing. Yes. And in the meantime, I learned, thanks to this curator that I met and another one that helped me through the process of applying, that this person say, why don't you add another level in your art and go and learn how to make murals? And I say, no, that's a new thing. Oh, God forbid I do a new thing. And I did it. I did it, and I went, I contacted a person in Minneapolis, which is a muralist, and I said, will you help me to learn how to do it? So part of the money I got from the grant, it went to that muralist that teach me how to do mural. And in the process, I traveled to St. Paul for several months last year to paint a big mural in a street, which is in exhibit now, which is the whole wall of a building. And I painted for twice a week. I went to Minneapolis. They spent the whole day painting a wall. And I really enjoyed and say, this is what I want to do. I don't want to go small. I want to go big.
Good for you.
And then I won another thing to paint. And I paint 10 murals for the city of Rochester that has been in an exhibit last year in the street.
Wow.
So it's like a chain of events. Yeah. One thing take to the other thing, and then you discover what is it you enjoy more.
That's it. The other question that I have for you is collaboration is important, and you spoke a little bit about that, especially collaboration as we know it in the creative world. Have you worked with other artists or professionals in your field? And if so, how has that influenced your work?
Yes, I have worked with several muralists in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the growth through that has been immense. Mm. And we finished that project together, mm-hmm. but still we text every week to see what is there is another opportunity for us to work together, and we share image and we give feedback to each other. So okay. we keep working together.
Nice.
And I cannot say thank you enough to the curator in Rochester Art Center that suggests me to go there to find another kind of art. Painting one paper in your home is one thing. Painting outside with five or six other people in the open air where the neighbors stop and see and ask you questions is another thing. And I really enjoy that part, not the being inside and being by myself. And yes, I love to be with other artists. And when I painted 10 murals on the street, we were 10 muralists doing it. So we paint 100 murals in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And we painted in a facility in Rochester for the bus, where they put the bus to, it's like a bus station in
the
city.
Oh, like a bus depot.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, because it was cold and it's safer to paint indoors than being outside. And we painted simultaneously with the other painters. So I was able to meet the top artists in Rochester, which I keep as friends, and we communicate constantly with them. One is Samarama. The other one is Jesslyn Finch. They are incredible artists in Rochester. And now we see each other. It's like, oh, yes, she's an artist. And it's I put myself inside the art community like self. Yeah. I impose myself. I say, this is me and I'm here. And they know, oh, she's the one that paint the big eyes. That's what they know.
I love it. Do you think you would ever design, and you know me with clothing, do you think you would ever design shirts or jackets with your women emboldened on them?
Well, this is something that my family has been pushing me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I push it on the side at this time because for me it's more relevant for the people to know who I am and what I do, to have credibility on me when I go that way. Because if I do a t-shirt now or something like that now, who is going to buy? Nobody know who I am.
Mm.
Or at least few people know who I am. Okay. I want it. My goal is to be more out there before investing in that. Because that's an investment.
Correct.
And I want to be self-sufficient. And at this point, I'm still using money from my husband.
Yeah.
And or the house, not from me, except that I sold some paint and the grant and the mural, they gave me some money, but that's not enough to keep spending money in creating this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why I haven't done it. I want to do it when I can do it.
Okay.
The same reason why I don't have a studio.
Okay.
I will have a studio when I have the money to pay for the rent, because that's it. That's what it is.
All in due time. And it's going to happen. What I want to say is art can evoke powerful emotions and messages. And what do you hope that your viewers or the listeners take away from your work? And I guess it's a twofold question, because how do you also navigate the balance between personal expression and connecting with your audience?
Hi, what a difficult question. It's so complicated. I want everybody to express themselves. Mm. That's what I wanted with my art, is what I wanted to do. When I speak with kids, which I have done classes to kids in the Rochester Art Center, I say, use the art to channel whatever is inside. And I think my art is an example of what you can do with exercise, writing poems, traveling along, anything that you want to do to express, to channel things that sometimes people cannot talk. That's why the painting. People cannot speak for many, many reasons, because they don't have a listener, because the audience is not open to listen the thing you have to say, because they grow in a way that they cannot speak. That's why if you have those barriers, art, exercise, writing, or many other things are your channel to do it. And that is going to open up to do it openly. It's a redundant way to say, but yes.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So can you tell the listeners what you have coming up, just so that they're aware and they can put it on their calendars?
July 1st, I will have an exhibit on the 125 Life, which is in Rochester, an exhibit between 20 and 30 paints, paintings of watercolors, 12 by 12 inches or 18 by 24 inches. Also, I have an exhibit going on now in the International Airport in Rochester. So if you're traveling using the local airport, take a look on every corridor. There are 30 artists there, local, from Iowa, from Minnesota, and from Wisconsin. If you stop and look at the art, you're supporting the artists, local people, people that are trying to speak up like I'm doing. And the other one, which is for a month, is in the Rochester Public Library, very simple. You walk inside the library, I think it's on the right. There is a panel where they have exhibits in the past. This is for now, and I'm working in 3 different exhibits in Minneapolis that if they happen, I will let you know.
Okay,
I'm
perfect.
Crossing my finger they accept any of those.
Perfect.
And
perfect.
That's basically what it is.
Okay, and if our listeners want to follow you on social media, are you on social media?
I have an Instagram, which is my name and my last name. It's Carlot.gay.
Okay.
It's not Carlota, it's Carlot. CARLOT.GAY. That's perfect. Instagram.
Perfect. And I just want to say I have thoroughly enjoyed this time, and it went way too fast, reconnecting and sitting down and talking to you. I want to say thank you for joining me, Carlota, on this episode. And for me, the stories through your artwork that you represent are stories of strength, of resilience, of women stepping into our own and claiming and reclaiming who we are to be in this world. And for me, it is super empowering to sit across from someone who is not only a beautiful woman inside and out, but a woman who is bringing others along on this journey. Like, that's true empowerment.
So I want to say that I didn't mention, I had two paintings which are very relevant for me. One is called Ukrainian Girl, and the other one is Russian Girl. And they are one side by side. When I have exhibit, I put the two together. The Russian Girl, I painted 2 months before the war started. I didn't know that was going to happen. So this is a totally blind paint that I decided to paint. This Russian Girl, which is extremely sad, very cold. And when this horrible war started developing, I paint the Ukrainian girl. The Russian girl won, it has been in an exhibit, international exhibit, for several months. And it's the exhibit name is Anti-War. And they choose the Russian, not the Ukrainian girl, when they present the two of them. And for me, it was very relevant. Like, this girl is suffering as much as the other one. And then I paint one from Beirut, when Beirut had the blast like a year ago. And this Beirut female is a female that is enduring pain, loss, has to get up in the morning and do whatever to keep the family going with such a tragedy that happened there. And nobody helped. I mean, it's happening, and people keep moving without turning around to see what's going on there. So those are examples of female. I don't know them, but they are representing what is happening in real life.
Wow. And that's what you embody for me. It's like the connection, right? It's bringing different worlds together, and it's shining a spotlight on things that truly matter and how we can make a difference in that world. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's, and we had spoke earlier in our conversation of how all of us are interconnected in some way. And if we can just take a moment to step outside ourselves and look at your artwork and look through the eyes of these different women, whether it's a Russian girl or a Ukrainian girl or the woman from Beirut, to truly look at them and have that connection within our own spirit. These women are not so different than you or
us. Yep. No.
Mm-mm. And we all want the same things for our families, for ourselves. You know, we want peace and we want love and we want joy.
To be able to speak.
That's it. That's it. Have our voice.
Mm-hmm. You have it.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. This was such a lovely time.
Thank you.
And we're going to have to do this again because I enjoy you so much. And
but the thing is, I want to do an interview of yourself.
Oh, I love you.
That's the thing. Can I do it so the people can know you better?
Absolutely. Okay. We'll make time.
We'll do that.
We'll make time for
that. Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
And I love you.
I love you too. Yes. And we met when we were having two babies. And
we
now
did.
We're here.
Love you, my friend. I love you, my friend. Thank you for this.